We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Line to third, caught by Turner, throw to first. It's going to be a double play. Garattini got doubled off first, and this ball game is over. Henley Jansen ready and fires. Swing and a miss, and the ball game is over. The Dodgers make it two in a row, the final tonight. Dodgers 5, Cubs 3. Here's the 1-2. Swing and a miss, there it is, and the Cubs win. The low slider, it may have bounced in the dust. Cubs win by a score of 2-1. What a ball game. And Baez hits a liner into shallow center field. Coming in and making the catch is Alex Verdugo. And the Dodgers hold off the Cubs, and the Dodgers take 3 out of 4.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. Move Joe Sheehan up a day to accommodate his schedule. He's going to join us at 10. We will do the midday midway at 10:40, and then Ben Lindbergh of The Ringer and the co-author of The MVP Machine, just a magnificent book.
Really stellar.
Going to join us to talk about baseball's present and future at 11 o'clock, and we have stuff to give away. You do not want to turn the dial, because if you do, you will miss your opportunity to win the following: a round of golf for two at the top-rated Bog Golf Club in Saukville, Wisconsin, one of Arnold Palmer's top five courses in the country. Ooh. And we have a pair of tickets to see Cubs-Braves Wednesday, June 25th. Those will be yours, your reward for putting up with us today. 312-644-6767 is our phone number at WSCR The Score. Email us at BernsteinandMcKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text or a sext? Please do. 67011. When you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. He's at C1McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. You have to download the radio.com app.
Happy belated Father's Day to all of you fathers.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. How was yours?
Kind of bittersweet, to be
bittersweet?
Honest with you.
Yeah. Emotions dropping in and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, this weekend was kind of a lot of
things. I hate it when those
emotions
things, get in there.
It was an eighth grade graduation that I didn't think would be that big a deal.
That was Friday, right?
Yeah, until I saw the reaction of the kids who were all, I mean, I didn't really understand a lot of it, but it's K through 8, which I didn't experience, because I had K through 6, and then it was just 2 years of a junior high where we all would then go to the same high school together.
Yeah, we moved a ton, but I had the same last 2 years of junior high. Everybody was there, and then everybody went to high school.
Right. Everybody, we were all at Shepherd, and everybody went to Deerfield, and that was just the thing. And this was different, because these kids now in Chicago, you know, they scatter to the winds because of selective enrollment and the private schools and the Catholic schools, and the kids were bawling. I mean, they were, and even at the party, it was tough. And then there was Father's Day, and then we put them on the bus this morning, said goodbye for 2 months. So it's
well, it's camp, right?
Yeah,
it's a big
bus has just rolled up to Hayward, so it's a. It was kind of jarring.
You had a weekend. You had a soulful weekend.
Even through this morning. I mean, saying goodbye to him this morning, it's just been...
Oh, man. All right. Happy Father's Day to you. You deserve it. Well done. Top notch.
Got the whole turning 50 next week and everything. And
yeah, are we going to do something for that, or are you going to kill me if I say anything about it on air?
Can I just blow my brains out as first?
As long as you do it on air. Okay. Yeah, that'd be great. Right, if you just do that live on the show,
right,
we'll promo it and probably sell tickets. That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, so stuff for you to win that's golf and all that. And I mentioned that you download the radio.com app, and there is Facebook. You like the 670 The Score page, and you can watch our video stream. Brian Gertsch has the video feed here in our culinary studios. That's at watch670thescore.com and Facebook Live. But boy, a lot of baseball to take in. Late baseball, late golf. We had to adjust our sports watching schedule. I was a little surprised at how the Cubs spun the Dodgers series in large part. Patrick Mooney wrote about it, about just how they're like, okay, yeah, we're with these guys toe-to-toe. We know that not much is separating us.
Despite being 1-3.
Correct. Their takeaway, I thought that was dropped. I thought the Baez hit was dropping.
I mean, thought it was going to drop, too.
I think about how the narrative changes. That drops, they take the lead, maybe they salt that one away, end up with a split, and we're talking about it completely differently.
And you've taken down Kenley Jansen twice in as many days, which is something we're going to talk about in just a couple of minutes.
Right, it didn't happen in that regard, but the Cubs are able, and they've earned the right. This is how they look at things. They look at big picture, they look at process, and they come away with the same, all right, okay, we saw what you have, we know what we have.
Well, it's a little bit of what we talked about last Monday. It's after a weekend of games that looked this, that, and the other, and watching the last couple outs, at least for me, watching the last four or five outs of a Cubs ball game now and since the Craig Kimbrell announcement has felt different. It's not been a salve. It's not been a thing that makes me feel like, oh, everything's going to be fine and none of this matters. It does. Each and every game matters this season. We've spent nothing but an offseason of talking about how each and every game matters, and 96 is more than 95, and 97 is more than 90. You know what I mean? Like, this division will be a tight one. It's probably one of the best, if not the best, in baseball. So, you know, each and every final couple outs matters, but knowing that Kimbrell is there and that the shape of those outs are going to be very different in just a couple of days. It sounds like Kimbrell could throw this week at AAA in a rehab outing. That really alters the dynamic for me. I'll tell you what, though. You look at that Dodgers team, and there's a couple of things, as close as I think they may be, there's a couple of things they have the Cubs don't that would be that probably tilt the scales a little bit in their favor. For instance, and it's the guy you mentioned, Alex Verdugo may work his way into a full-time player for them. He's been good enough to do it.
He's exciting and fun to watch.
And he's a part-time dude.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, when it stands to that roster, he is a part-time guy that Dave Roberts gets to throw in there in a flip switch when bullpen comes in, let him eat. And he's a left-handed bat who hits lefties and got all kind of athleticism and can make the throws and can make that jump on a Baez liner into center field. That's something that it doesn't feel like the Cubs have right now. Instead, they rely a little bit more on those core couple of bats and a little bit of production from a guy like David Bote or a guy like Kyle Schwarber when he's on a heater. It feels fine for the Cubs, but seeing a few things the Dodgers have made me go, oh, man, deadline could be an interesting one.
I think it will be. I think we're getting some separation now and starting to hear that there are some teams that are willing, that maybe they made their run, took their chances now, and this is when we get the wheat separating from the chaff a little bit here, and there will be some general managers making prudent business decisions. White Sox among them.
Yeah, they're going to have to make some decisions as well. Cubs and Sox, obviously, Tuesday and Wednesday, those games here on The Score. Looking forward to those. Should be a good time. We're going to be out at Gallagher Way and hanging out before each game. It's like a whole day-long pregame for The Score out at Wrigley Field the next 2 days.
Tuesday and Wednesday, the Wintrust Crosstown Series will be broadcasting live from 9 a.m. until first pitch at 7:05 p.m. These broadcasts brought to you by Wintrust, the presenting partner of the Wintrust Crosstown Series. Yeah, I think the Sox thing, I know we've been celebrating their return to mediocrity, but they're not winning anything. That they're not going to invest in this team this year, and we've seen some of the breakdowns. Now, if you look at their run differential,
minus 50 something usually all weekend.
They've really overperformed, and most of the metrics we use to project future performance for this team based on what they call third order record. We're talking about who they've beaten and when this year. They're not good enough to earn any investment in this team.
I want to be real clear, though. I think celebrating their mediocrity because of how they're arriving at it, with Giolito being good, Moncada being good, Anderson being good, these names that matter, they're good, and that's why they're where they are. That's why all the positives exist. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with doing that. And I think, as a White Sox fan, or at least I'm doing it, like, you can acknowledge that things are better now, And you can see the build. You can still sell column A if you want to. You can still sell, a piece or two if you get the right price from somebody else.
Bummer is playing his way into some value.
Well, I see Bummer is a guy who's, what is this? He'll finish this year at one and change years of service time. Like, I wouldn't move a guy like that. I would move your more veteran dudes, even though column A could have the extra year after this one with arbitration. I think you do look to pick up just a few more pieces, the average white band, by the way, before you get into your big push for it, get your rotation together kind of season.
It's always nice to hear from Yu Darvish in his own words, and it's rare to hear him do so at length in English, but he did over the weekend.
Yeah, and in a couple of different ways. Zach Zaidman picked him up just before the pregame show the other day and talked about a number of things. You know, Darvish did have a very good start in a place where he really needed to exercise the demons. It had been such a terrible Game 7 start for in the World Series for Darvish while he was with the Dodgers. And he said after his start Saturday that he can kind of start to move on now. He had some other things to say about his repertoire, his command, and his mental state about where things are now versus where they were maybe the last 2 years. You will hear from Yu Darvish as he sat down with Zach Zaidman when we come back just after the update.
My first month this year, first 6 weeks, you know, I didn't have anything feeling my fastball. Because of last year, I had an injury. Then when I throw the fastball, I got really, you know, really pain. That's why, you know, a little bothered me. But now I start feeling good.
Who's that, you ask? That is Yu Darvish talking about the feel for his fastball.
Yeah, and the fact that it caused him pain throwing it last season, you know, before he went on the shelf and had a whole slew of rehabs and South Bend starts. And remember, Yu Darvish was the guy who I told you before yes. that started in South Bend. I was like, listen, the only thing that matters here is what he says after the start. And here's what he's going to say. Everything felt fine. Had all my pitches. We'll see what happens. The big thing is what happens tomorrow. And that's not what he said. He was like the first guy to go down and rehab ever.
I am in terrible pain.
This is awful. I don't think I've ever done this before.
Help me,
this
please.
Was, what in God's name was I doing? I don't know where I am. I don't know who I am. It was just the worst pair of comments I've ever heard after a rehab start. And I was like, okay, things are serious now. You got to change your mindset there. So Yu Darvish is talking about where that fastball was last season, where it was on that start on Saturday, which I thought he looked good. I didn't think he looked great. I thought he missed some spots with that fastball, although it was humming in at 94. I think I saw 97 at one point. He probably sat around 94 and change. Nice to see that kind of velocity, especially after the weekend. Also brings you, and we're going to talk about Kyle Hendricks in a second, but brings you Kyle Hendricks throwing changeups that don't do anything except sit in the middle of the strike zone, and he's got to get himself healthy and get back on the roll he was on. But Darvish also says something about the way he's pitching, even when he's pitching well. And I think you tell me how you feel about this next cut here with it's Darvish with Zach Zaidman. But it makes me think that as much as he spoke about where he was at and what he had last season, I don't know that we listened all that well or were willing to listen to Yu Darvish because he was hurt and unable to perform. This is a guy who, and you'll hear it, understands his stuff and understands what is and isn't good.
A lot of people, you know, talking about my start yesterday, but actually, you know, but I didn't have my stuff yesterday. But it's just, you know, the umpire helped me a little bit, and then just I excuse the pitches. But I didn't have like nasty stuff, and then good mechanic. Just my mental is and my pitch, how you say, selection, and the place was great.
So that's how he was getting through things. I mean, it's kind of strange, especially given the Yu Darvish that Cubs fans have seen the last, you know, year and a half, 2 years. It's strange to hear a guy say, I got through that one with a little bit of guile and a little bit of luck and, you know, throwing 96. But that's what that start was, really. I mean, he didn't feel in great command of the breaking stuff, and I didn't see a slider that looked like it did even when he's striking out 11 in 5 1/3 or whatever the hell he did the other day. That's a start he kind of worked through some and had to fight with his catcher on. You like to hear that, especially if Darvish is a guy that does have more stuff more often.
Well, there's also the emotional issues with him, and I don't mean that pejoratively, that it just seems that he is very self-aware of narrative.
Yeah.
He's self-aware of his relationships to these teams, and this very often you can legitimately accuse us, the media, of projecting stuff on it, say, well, he's going against his old team,
yeah,
and he has to redeem himself from this performance, or he was, well, whatever it's been, back with the Rangers. The fact is, he has admitted to carrying this weight out on the mound with him.
Yeah.
And we're not making it up. That it just seems like every start is a something, or every time he leaves, there's a reason for it. It's just there's narratives tend to follow him, and it's in large part because he's very clear about being aware of these things. And he talks about getting past this start, and he cared about how the fans reacted to him. He did feel like he owed the fans a debt because of his World Series problems, Game 7 issues when he might have been tipping pitches.
That, in my point of view, that is his those emotional reasons that you detail, the fact that there is another narrative each and every time he goes out there, seemingly. That's 20-25% of the reason that I kept telling you all as this thing got going this year, just deal with the Darvish you have on the mound. Don't get yourself into a twist trying to project something later on down the line.
That's been your mantra.
It's not something that I think is smart for a fan to do. I'm not saying that's what the Cubs or his coaches or Darvish should do. Far from it. You got to take those little wins, even when they don't look all that existent, and roll with them. But I'm just the way you watch a guy, particularly this one, is just take one start at a time. Don't let it build on you, because that's a tough way to be a fan.
He's Connor McKnight. I'm Dan Bernstein. We're Bernstein and McKnight, and we are on from 9 to noon Monday through Friday. We've got Joe Sheehan coming up at 10. We got Ben Lindbergh at 11. Giveaways today. Cubs tickets. This is your place to win Cubs tickets. And we also have a round of golf at the Bog that we're going to be giving away if you are listening. A major NBA development as well. We also have a key Cub, as you mentioned, with an injury issue now, and it will likely mean the promotion of a rare thing in the Cubs organization, a starting pitching prospect.
No.
Of some repute.
There's no such thing as a starting pitching prospect.
I've got to work through my fear of an injured shoulder, because it's not an elbow. It's not a pinky finger.
It's not.
And when I hear shoulder, the wheels start to turn, and I start to ask some questions. They're trying to allay fears at the moment, but it doesn't mean those fears don't exist.
Right, we'll get a little nervous when we come back, but I think I saw something from this series against the Dodgers, too, that may make Cubs fans less nervous as well. We'll hit them both when we come back. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Yeah, it's pain, but I mean, not like sharp pain, you know, it's just discomfort. So yeah, I think it's obviously it's just inflammation in there probably from some workload or something. You know, can't pinpoint a reason.
You can always eventually pinpoint a reason, and that's Kyle Hendricks trying to assuage fear, but shoulders terrify me when it comes
to
pitching.
They do.
Because shoulders don't get better. Shoulders can be managed, but he says probably. The uncertainty in that comment, even though it's look, he could be, he's like the dog with the room on fire that this is fine, because he's so implacable I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying if it were. Even it's a flesh wound. Like he's
right.
The Black Knight.
Yeah. No, I get
that. He would never let on. You would never be able to tell from Hendricks himself,
right,
how serious something actually is. So when he says, "I felt it," and there's inflammation there, probably from workload or something. All inflammation is caused by something, and it could be something bad. It could be something not so bad. But what I want to know is, once they do the imaging and once they do like an enhanced MRI and they say, okay, why is there swelling? Well, it could be a partially torn labrum. It could be any number of the muscles in the very complicated rotator cuff has a partial tear, something. There's always an actual mechanical reason for inflammation.
Well, Theo Epstein's going to be on with Mully and Haw Thursday at 8 a.m., and he will tell you that everything's probably fine then, too, I would bet. Because it could be dead arm stuff. Could be, like Kyle said, it's workload stuff. I get the analogy of Kyle to the dog.
Yeah.
It's just I can't go so far as to agree with you that the fire is the same.
Look,
you know?
I understand. I admit to being more easily frightened than others when it comes to injuries. I go right there. What is the term my wife uses? Apocalypse. It's like George Costanza. Is it cancer? It's cancer. Is it lupus? It's lupus. Like I'm that guy. And it's I do it myself, and I do, you know, anything. I see a spot on my hand, and I immediately am terrified that it's the worst possible thing.
I was worried watching that start with Kyle. It wasn't necessarily speed. It was nothing had finish on it. Right. Nothing had. Remember when we were talking about John Lester's stuff just kind of being a little lazy? Well, Joe Maddon was talking about the stuff being lazy. Not that John was being lazy, but the stuff looked a little lazy. Just wasn't performing to its crispness. That was Hendricks. I mean, those changeups just hung over the dish. He could have been hit a lot harder than he was. I think getting Victor Caratini together with him would be a more interesting thing for me. I continue to push for more days behind the plate for Vic and, you know, DH spots when you can get him for Wilson Contreras. I'd be interested in seeing him play a little bit of left field. I'd be interested in moving some things around in game. You know, Joe has been somewhat fearless at times with having both catchers in the game and not having a third on the bench or maybe having to shuffle things back around or what have you. I don't mind that kind of stuff. I think Caratini's that much better behind the plate than Wilson Contreras. But I'll tell you this, is if you're worried about Kyle Hendricks, I can understand it. And I know I can't stop you from worrying.
No, you can't.
But have you seen Kenley Jansen lately? I know that he's got, I think it's 7 of his last 8 saves in his 8 outings. I know that each of his outings have been leverage outings. They haven't done one of those, you know, warm-up type of, you know, get the kick the tires and see how he's doing kind of thing. Dodgers in a blowout. Let's just get Kenley a couple of pitches. I understand that he's been very good and that the batting average against stands at something like 130 and the batting average balls in play is like 200. Nothing, no pitch I saw him throw either Saturday or Sunday was Kenley Jansen. None of it.
Something's up.
None of it looked like that. And people have been saying this for a little while. Can he get through with some of that stuff that's not there or not being the Kenley Jansen that Cubs fans feared coming into a ball game in years past? Yeah, probably. He could probably get through that stuff. Pitching's, I mean, it's hard to hit, you know? But I remain pretty astounded that not only did the financial wherewithal arrive for the Cubs, but they hopped on finding a back-end reliever to add to that bullpen. While that may be happening in L.A., you may have other back-end issues with a number. I mean, if the Yankees have fixed all of their bullpen woes and assume no one else is going
they're
to get hurt, then they're okay.
Over it. I think the Yankees are going to score 14
Jesus,
runs a game.
My God.
Adding Edwin Encarnacion to a lineup that it will then welcome back both Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge.
Gleyber Torres could hit 9 in that lineup.
Literally.
But no, seriously. Yes. I mean, he may have to hit nine in that lineup, and then they'll face the Orioles again, and he'll bomb 7 home runs in a day. I'm just saying, it's double plus good that the Cubs ended up with Craig Kimbrel when they did, paying just money. Because if you were to get into a bidding war or a race with other teams that have now found their own bullpen issues, which to me, Kenley Jansen does not look like a comfortable ninth inning dude. Nice to have gotten your guy before the Dodgers realized, or maybe it just falls on them, that they need someone extra.
So it seems like signs are pointing to the promotion of Adbert Alzolay.
It does.
And get used to the pronunciation of that name. It's not Albert Alzolay, because it's very easy for your brain to transpose to something that much more familiar. It is Adbert Alzolay, and he's putting together a season at AAA for the Cubs. Right now, his earned run average is .309, and that's with a fielder independent pitching of .309.
Well, that's nice.
That means he is pitching to his numbers. Almost 13 strikeouts per 9 in his 6 starts, and 1.69 walks per 9.
Those are decent peripherals. I've heard the stuff is pretty good. Adbert was a guy who, remember last season, it sounded like we had an interview with Jed Hoyer on a Thursday prior to a weekend series fairly early on. And I asked Jed the too early question of, hey, Adbert Alzolay, how are things looking? It was like 4 starts into Alzolay's season. How's it looking? It's, well, we think this could be a guy that helps us a little bit later on down the line. It's way too early to talk about it. Thanks, Connor, for asking. But we think it's a guy that an arm that could help. He's arrived now. He's been a lot healthier. He has gotten some things ironed out and back together. It'd be interesting to see the pitch mix and how he's holding velocity. I've heard something like 95, you know, some decent heat. That's an arm, any arm coming up from inside the system, that'd be real terrific to see.
The 847 is Bernstein. Remember your panic over Jacob deGrom? He's fine. Yes, there's a very good chance that Kyle Hendricks is fine. I completely understand that, and you're absolutely right. I'm playing my role. I'm doing, you can do what you do.
Someone has to be Cassandra.
I'm doing what I'm doing, and that
idiot.
Is, I'm taking on the worries of everyone. Trust me, it's not easy to be the conduit for everyone's concern every time somebody's hurt.
It's
not fun. I've got to internalize that. I've got to walk around carrying
it's like,
that
it's
with
like
me.
Last year.
You know what? You should be thanking me.
It's like last year when you bear the sins of the world.
You should
just I got it. Put the hair shirt on and walk around.
Yes.
I'm doing this for you.
I'm surprised it took Dan this many years to admit that he's a messiah.
Just thank me for doing it. I just if I will handle all your worrying and I'm the one who has these nightmares about what could be going on inside Kyle Hendricks's shoulder.
Okay. If you want to play in the nightmare world, let me do this for just a half a second, right?
All right. Okay. I'm perfectly at home in the nightmare world.
Well, I know it's actually where we do our show.
Can you smell brimstone every time I appear?
Sulfur, that kind of thing. What did you pay for Craig Kimbrell? Cash, right?
43.
Cash. And it ends there. Cash. Right. Just cash. If, God forbid, Kyle Hendricks has a longer-term injury, if some other starter breaks down and you need to get somebody in that rotation, do you know what the Craig Kimbrell trade has done for you yet again? Provided you more prospect depth to get something you need. That's how much of a no-brainer this Kimbrell thing was for the Cubs and for a lot of teams. I'm not saying that just signing one of the best relievers in this offseason was something that only they could figure out. Many teams could have done this and probably should have during the offseason. But the fact that you added this guy in, regardless of whether or not he's good, means you didn't have to trade your prospects. And if you need something, you can go get it. Hopefully, the Cubs are in a situation where they just add the little bit extra. But now, if they need something, if something's forced on them, well, you can go to the prospect depth and maybe blow it out if you have to win another World Series.
We have added a Twitter poll to the mix here at Bernstein_MCK, and it also contains a misplaced apostrophe that is not the fault of either Connor or myself.
Do it yourself then, jerk. Jay, could you say that again? I couldn't hear the bus running over you.
Oh, back it up and do it again. Apostrophe outside the S. Jesus. Otherwise, we're talking about somebody named Kyle Hendrick. What is your level of concern with Kyle Hendrick's injury?
You're just going to lead into it. Jay, if you would come in here and hit him, that's fine.
That we're far enough away that we've made it difficult. It's easier now that we're in the culinary studio.
Go to the video stream to see that during the timeout.
Good Lord,
yeah,
man.
You want to see Jay slap me around, you keep it here in the video stream. Terrified, worried, cautiously optimistic, or... he'll be totally fine. So I'm going to vote. I am concerned about Kyle Hendrick.
Uh-huh. And where are you going? Worried?
Oh, terrified.
Terrified.
Come on.
Sure. Okay.
Let's
I just added a second poll to the question if you'd like to refresh your screen.
Oh, what did you do?
Is Dan an asshat? Oh, no, I got it wrong. Sorry. That was last week. It's also how big of a wang is @Dan_Bernstein.
Not has, is.
The biggest or awfully big. Yes, it's the biggest.
I hope I win this one, too.
Oh, it's a runaway. My God.
I voted for myself as the biggest, let the record show.
I'm going to go with cautiously optimistic, but it has nothing to do with how big of a wang you are.
That's outstanding. Joe Sheehan brings us his baseball expertise, some reality on the White Sox. He wrote about Shohei Ohtani also and how well he's playing, and we know his all-star ballot and how he looks at that, and we're going to discuss all things baseball with one of the smartest guys who does it. Don't go anywhere. You've got Bernstein and McKnight on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.